Good evening. Good evening sa inyong lahat. Welcome to this gathering of Crossroads Church of Dubai. Welcome for you who are first time. It's a joy to see you. Pray that you would grab a free Bible after the service. And if you are here because of a friend, invited you kasi gusto niyo ma-witness of kanyang baptism, thank you for coming. Baptism is always an exciting event para sa amin. It pictures a person who has repented from their sins and trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. So maraming salamat po at nakasama namin kayong gabi. At tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series sa Exodus chapter 20 sa Ten Commandments. Tayo po ay nasa second week na sa ating pag-aaral. Yung tinatawag na Ten Commandments or Ten Instructions or Ten Words. Binigay ito ni Yahweh sa mga Israelites in order for them to know how they are to live their lives as redeemed people of God. Ang Decalogue ay nahahati po sa dalawang table, Commandments number 1 or Commandments number 1 hanggang Commandments number 4 talks about how to relate to God. Tapos ang Commandments number 5 hanggang number 6 talks about how we are to relate sa ating mga neighbors. Inaral din natin ang mga commandments na inaral natin commandments na ito kahapon. If you're not last week, if you're not here with us, just to make it clear na tama yung motive natin in why we are studying itong commandments na ito, ang motivation nito is not to fulfill it in order to be right before God. Hindi po natin pinapractice ito upang tayo ay maligtas sa ating kasalanan. Hindi po. So hindi po yun ang ating dahilan. God in Jesus Christ has set us free from sin slavery. And so we're studying the Decalogue o yung Ten Commandments po as how we are to live that freedom. How we are to live a life of gratitude bilang mga Kristiyano. Last week, inaral natin ang First Commandment that deals with the person of God. It asks the question, who we are to worship. It focuses on the object of worship, which is Yahweh, si God. At gaya ni God the Father, we have learned Jesus Christ demands absolute devotion, loyalty, obedience, and worship. Ngayon namang gabi, we will look at the second commandment, which deals with God's worship. And so it asks the question, how we are to worship this God? Yun naman ang tanong po sa atin ngayong gabi. Paano ba dapat natin sambahin ang ating Diyos? How do we worship the true God in the right way? Let me read once again our passage tonight, Exodus 20, verse 4 and 6 in the English Standard. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commands. Ang point na ating passage ngayong gabi is that God demands that His redeemed worship Him in the right way. God demands that His redeemed people worship Him the right way. We have divided itong passage into three headings or three points. Number one, images convey false representation of the true God. Verse 4. Number two, images invoke unprescribed worship of the true God. Verse 5, first part in verse 5. And number 3, images provoke the true God's jealousy. Second part in verse 5 hanggang verse 6. Number 1, images convey false representation of the true God. Basahin muli natin ang verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Medyo straightforward po yung command. No? Actually, straightforward ang command. Malinaw po. Huwag sila gumawa ng kahit anong representation ng kahit anong klaseng Diyos-Diyosan. Ganun ho kalinaw. Bawal lumikha, gumawa, mag-craft, mag-fashion, mag-shape. At sinabi din niya na huwag gumawa ng image that visually represents Him. Those are two different things, which is na pag-aralan natin yon sa last week, sa commandment number one. One, huwag kagagawa ng visual representation ng any other gods. And second, do not make any visual representation of who I am. Malinaw po yun. Now, nais ko linawin na ang second commandment po ay hindi pinagbabawal na gumawa o mag-fashion ng kahit anong artworks. Gaya ng sculpting, mga statues, painting, and even sa panahon natin, digital arts. Hindi po bawal yun. Hindi po mali magkaroon ng tinatawag na ornamentations or decorations sa loob po ng ating tahanan. O mga bagay na mga ornamentations na sinusot sa ating pangangatawan. Or even artistry sa looban po ng worship hall. Tandaan natin sa Bible, makikita natin na may mga sari-saring statwa at ornamentations at carvings sa furniture, sa kurtina, sa inner and outer court ng Israel. To mention a few, sa loob ng tabernacle, makikita natin yung artistry, sa looban, may dalawang cherubim na mga statwa. Sa Exodus 25 po yun. Sa outer court naman, mapapansin ang isang malaking basin na kung saan meron tinatawag na 12 bulls na nakasalo. Sinasalo yung basins na yon. Malaki po yun sa 1 Kings chapter 18. Tapos meron naman 40 na lions that decorated Solomon's throne. Pababa po yun, parang hagdana, nasa 1 Kings chapter 10. Pinagawa ng Panginoon, sa mga nakakaalala sa atin, ang isang brazen serpent na kung saan kung sino matuklaw ng mga Israelites sa wilderness, titingin lang sila by faith sa serpent na yon, sa bronze serpent na yon, at sila gagaling. Nasa Numbers 21. Of course, Jesus also walang issue sa mga coinages, mga designs sa coinages, Matthew 22. God bless itong dalawang mamang ito, Bezalel at saka Uhayliab, dalawang mama na kung saan who are skilled artists at saka craftsmen. At sila po'y madalas tawagin kapag merong gagawin sa temple. So hindi po problema ang artistry dito. The problem is that God doesn't want to be visually represented by any artwork for a purpose of worship. Mamaya titingnan po natin yun. Sabi sa Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15 to 16, this is God talking to Moses, through Moses sa kanyang people because of what people has done after po yan. This is a reminder sa kanila na huwag lumikha. Let me read it to you. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully, since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image of yours for yourselves in the form of any figure. You know, what God is saying here, hindi nyo ako nakita nung nagpakita, nung nagparamdam ako sa Horeb or Mount Sinai. Do you remember that from last week? God, through a dark cloud with thunder and lightning and malkulimlim, na yung presence ng Panginoon nandoon and the people of Israel was terrified. And then he recited the Ten Commandments. So Deuteronomy here is saying, nakita nyo ba ako roon? Wala naman kayong nakita, di ba? So bakit kayo gagawa? Because you're bound to make a mistake. You are bound to misrepresent me pag gagawin nyo yun. Exodus chapter 32. Verse 4, Aaron collected gold sa mga tao. Nung inaantay nila na makabalik si Moses para bitbit yung tablets ng Ten Commandment, nainip yung mga tao, hindi na raw ikababalik si Moses, kaya kailangan namin ng Diyos, makita ang Diyos. So nangolekta ng mga gold si Aaron, and from there they have shaped and fashioned yung kilalang-kilala na golden calf or yung golden bull, which pictures strength at saka stability. Ginawa niya ang golden calf hindi para i-represent ang isang Diyos-Diyosan. It's not that Aaron and the people rejected God or Yahweh. What they really did is they created an image of Yahweh himself. Makikita po yan that they used the word Lord, which is Yahweh, sa mga succeeding verses. Sabi sa Exodus 32 verse 4, "This is your God, Israel, who brought you out from the land of Egypt." So hindi niya sinasabi, ito ay Diyos-Diyosan, ibang klaseng Diyos. Hindi, ito si Yahweh. Yun po ang ginawa niya. Ito isang attempt ni Aaron na lumikha ng visual image ni God for the people to worship. Kasi gusto ng mga Israelites na magkaroon ng Diyos na katulad ng mga Diyos-Diyosan ng mga surrounding them na nation. They want a God that they can see, that they can touch. They want a God that they can experience physically. They wanted this type of God. And God was angered. Galit na galit ang Diyos sa disobedience nila. They were trying to visualize God. They were creating Him in their own imagination. Tama yung Yahweh, tama yung naaalala nilang mga miracles na nangyari sa plague sa Egypt, pero mali. Gumawa sila ng actual representation na He commanded na wag. One preacher said that once you made God visible, you lost Him. Tama po yun. Creating and fashioning God to a wallet-sized card image or picture reduces Him to worthlessness, to nothingness. Ang mga idols ay hindi nakakapagsalita, hindi nakakapakinig, hindi nakakakita. Idols are impersonal. Walang kayang gawin, and so it is worthless. An idol or image is a poor or even a heretical representation of God. That's why God is angered. Kasi ang Diyos ng Bible, mga kaibigan, ay buhay. Ang Diyos ng Bible nakikipag-usap at nagsasalita. Ang Diyos ng Bible, according sa Psalms, ay yumuyoko at nakikinig sa mga cries ng kanyang mga people. Ang Diyos ng Bible, nagmamahal at tumatanggap ng pagmamahal. Ang Diyos ng Bible, kaibigan, ay buhay at na nagliligtas, na nagbibigay ng buhay magpakailanman. The God of the Bible is alive and self-existing. Hindi niya tayo kailangan upang mabuhay o mag-survive. Hindi tayo kailangan ng Diyos. He is self-sufficient. Hindi siya kailangan alaya ng bulaklak. Hindi ho siya kailangan bigyan ng mga prutas, tubig, pagkain, handugan ng salapi. Hindi din siya kailangan paliguan o palitan ng damit gaya ng ginagawa ng karamihan. I remember watching a news nung ako'y high school sa TV. Nagkaroon ng isang malaking sunog po sa kalapit barangay namin. Sa sobrang lakas po ng sunog, yung mga katabing bahay ay dahan-dahan na ho na naapektuhan. So nangyayari, nagkaroon po ng panic sa barangay namin yon. At dahan-dahan lahat ng mga tao quickly were pulling off yung mga bagay na mahalaga sa kanila. Okay? Iba, bit-bit yung kanilang mga mahal sa buhay, TV, ref. Ano mo totoo po yan? Eh? Pag panic ka na, mabibit-bit mo yung ref mo eh. Adrenaline. Pero totoo po yun, nakita namin eh. But what got my attention is may isang grupo po doon ng mga senior citizens na dali-dali binubuhat at binibit-bit ang mga statwa ng kanilang mga santo. Mga kaibigan, the God of the Bible does not need saving. He is the one who is mighty to save. He does not need regular maintenance. He is the one who faithfully sustains us in the palm of His hand, daily, hourly, every minute and every second ng ating buhay. As you speak, engage sa akin, the Spirit is speaking to you. That's why when Paul saw the idols sa mga Athenians, ng mga Athenians sa Acts chapter 17, yung binasa at pininray ni James kanina, kinumpronta ni Paul ang mga idolatry ng mga taong ito. And here's what he said, I'm reading some of the passages here, or a couple of them, so verses 24 to 25. Here's what Paul said. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Man-made images wrongly represents God kasi inaalis nito ang kanyang kadakilaan. Inaalis nito ang kanyang glory. Sa crucifix po, hindi na, it only frames or freezes one event sa time that was supposed to be si Jesus Christ. But what about his burial? What about his resurrection? What about his glory? What about him sitting at the right hand of the Father? You cannot freeze that. Of course you are reminded of his death on the cross. But if that is the only means, yun na pinaka-object na, ito ang aking Diyos, may problema po tayo rin. Also, kaya ayaw ng Diyos na gumawa ang kanyang mga tao, ang kanyang mga anak, ng any visual representation of himself is because he reveals himself through his word. He reveals himself through his word. Ni-reveal niya ang sarili niya sa mga Israelites through Moses and then eventually through the prophets. So, ni-reveal niya ang kanyang sarili. And now, sa panahon natin, he reveals himself through his word. So, this is a God who revealed himself. Friends, God's word should dominate ang pagkakaunawa at ang pagkakakilala natin sa Diyos. Our worship to our God shouldn't be grounded by fanciful imaginations. Should not be grounded by clever opinions. Should not be grounded by desired preferences. Mga minahal na nakasanayan o napamana na ideolohiya. Hindi po ito ang basehan. Our worship is based on the character of God revealed in His Word. Images convey false representation of the true God. Number two, images invoke unprescribed worship of the true God. Again, straightforward ang command. Kanina, huwag kang gumawa. Ngayon naman, huwag kang sumamba. Okay? At huwag kang sumamba sa mga images that should that supposedly represent me. O akala nyo that represents me. Again, balik tayo kay Aaron sa Exodus chapter 32. Pagkatapos nilika ang golden bull or golden calf to represent God, ang ginawa ng mga tao is they worshipped it. They worshipped it. They created, now they worshipped. Verse 5 ng Exodus 32, reading it in the American Standard Bible. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord, which is Yahweh." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Blasphemy. They're calling the right name. They're worshiping him the wrong way. This displeased God. And then eventually, pagdating ni Moses, God judged those who had rebelled and disobeyed him. So ang ibig sabihin po ba nito, Pastor, hindi tayo pwedeng gumamit ng mga pictures or images or PowerPoint slides about si Jesus, sa cross, mga Old Testament, New Testament pictures, so we're not allowed to do that? Pwede ni ba pwedeng gumamit? Pwede po. Pwede naman po natin gamitin to mainly for teaching and instructional purposes. Ang problema, and even dangerous, is if we use it as an object of worship, praying to it, presenting gifts to it, bowing down to it, kissing it, na kapag tinitignan natin yung portrait na yan, kapag nararamdaman natin ang image na yan, we feel na napapalapit tayo kay Lord. And worse, kapag ginawa na rin natin itong parang anting-anting, pampaswerte ito eh. Mas makita mo yung image na sobra, bata pa ako, nasa akin na to. Kita mo, halos wala na yung ulo, yung upod na. Diba? And again, swerte ako, ilang beses ako niligtas. Pag ganyan na po ang ating paniniwala at ideolohiya, that's called worship. And that's not how you worship. And you use the name of the Lord to picture yung Diyos na inahawakan mo and the fashion of how you're worshiping Him. Nung nagpapastor ako sa Pilipinas, meron kaming binabible study na isang malaking pamilya na kung saan ang bahay nila ay punong-puno ng ribulto, mga life size, mga small size, may mga bite size din sila. So, kasi talagang marami. Kasi kung saan ako mapo, minsan nauupuan ko pa. Si ano yan? Okay. So may mga pangalan sila sa bawat isa. Nakakamangha. We were building relationships sa family nito. We had built relationships. And after years, kasi inabot po ng taon, opening the Bible, studying God's Word, going through the book of Mark, they finally came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we praise God. And then it came to them na kung saan they look at yung kanilang mga ribulto and ask us, hindi na namin kailangan panghawakan itong mga to, ano? And praise God. Sinuko po nila lahat. It was painful para sa kanila because they're talking about generations of generations na pinamana sa kanila. There were suggestions na ililibeng. Ang problema ho, baka yung next generation mahukay. Si Bogart, baka pag hinukay ni Bogart yan, dalin sa'yo yung aso. Nasa kamay na ng apo niyo, no? Pag ipamimigay naman po natin, ipinamana natin ang ating idolatrous practice or item. So the only option sa Bible is pulverize, destroy, burn down. Yun ang ginawa nila sa Old Testament. And so we did. And we rejoice. Kalakip doon is yung mga memorya nila, mga mahal nila sa buhay. But because God is supreme, kaya po nila ginawa yun. At tama lang po na nagpasya sila ginawa yun. Not only should we think of God in accordance to His Word, we must also worship Him in accordance with His Word. Mga kaibigan, meron po ba kayong mga, and this is a difficult question, kasi it could be a heart question, meron po ba kayong mga carved images, portraits, mga images na inaalagaan ng ilang taon na at ginagamit bilang object of worship? Ay, di naman namin, we know worship, ika, pastor, ito eh, apaala-ala lamang sa mga kamag-anak namin. At saka, ayun, naalala lang ako na mag-pray. Hindi ba who worship yun? But I know it's not easy. It's not easy. O maaaring mga pinapractice na mga ritual o aktibidades na maaaring ito ay isang, it will take the form ng dasal. Minsan, sa probinsya may tinatawag na bulong. Mga aktibidades na hindi naaayon sa salita ng Diyos. At ina-attribute natin na ito ang gusto ko gawin, ng gusto ng gawin ng Panginoon. Kung tayo po ay nananambahan sa tunay na Diyos, kay Kristo na siyang tagapagligtas ng ating buhay, kailangan po natin siya sambahin ayon sa kanyang salita. At hindi po natin kailangan ng visual representation or an aid na para tumulong sa atin na manambahan sa ating Diyos. At ang hindi naayon sa salita niya ay dapat pong baguhin. Hindi po naayon sa salita ng Diyos yung paghalik, pagluhod, pagdasal at pananambahan sa mga gawa-gawang Diyos. Isuko na po natin. Kung gusto niyo po na may makakausap patungkol ho dito, hayaan nyo kami na mabuksan ang Biblia at masamahan at mapanalangin namin. Alam ko hindi biglaan ito. Pero hayaan nyo kami magkaroon ng pagkakataon na malinawan kayo sa tulong ng Banal na Espiritu at Banal na Salita niya e makita na magkaroon tayo ng kalayaan sa mga ganito. Kasi ito ay mga hindi kaaya-aya sa harapan ng Diyos. Pero karamihan naman po sa atin na nandito ay hindi po natutukso na sumamba sa mga imahe o mga imahe na gawa sa bato o kahoy o plastic, no? Hindi ho tayo tempted na gumawa diyan. Maybe sa mga, tama yan, pastor, para kay ano to? Yan, tama yan, kasi pero pero bago tayo pumunta doon, may mga idols din kasi po eh. May mga idols na nababanggit sa Bible na madalas natin luhuran. Ang tawag po dito sa mga idols na ito is idols of the heart. Idols of the heart. Diyos-Diyosan sa ating puso. Si Ezekiel at saka si Paul talks about the idols of the heart. Ezekiel 14, 2-3. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Si Paul naman sa 1 Corinthians 10, 13, Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Because in the context of different types of idolatry. Sabi po ng theologian na si John Calvin, man's nature, so to speak, is perpetual factory of idols. In short, ang puso daw natin ay idol-making factory. Naghahanap tayo ng maya na Diyos-Diyos na sasambahin. Okay? Man's mind, full as it is of pride and boldness, dares to imagine a God according to its own capacity. It conceives an unreality and empty appearance of as a God. We love to worship new gods. Be careful kung tayo po, ingatan natin ang ating puso na kapag sinabi na, praise God, napaglabanan ko na yan, pastor, hindi na ako nagsastruggle dyan. Sigurado may bagong Diyos-Diyosan. Okay? And the only way to fight yung affections natin towards sins is a greater affection towards God. And for our affections to raise sa Panginoon, we need His Word. Read to us, studied. Anything can become an idol sa buhay natin. Even the good things. Even the good things. Give you a list. Sex is a good thing sa mag-asawa. At romantic affections. Pero pwede ito maging idol? Ang ating mga anak, asawa, mga apo, as mahal natin itong mga to, pero pwede rin niyang maging Diyos-Diyosan sa ating buhay. One way na malalaman natin ang nagiging Diyos-Diyosan na sila, bukod sa inuuna natin sila, is inuuna natin sila kesa sa Diyos. Na kahit mali na, hindi tayo nagbibigay ng pagmamahal, ng pag-correct. Maybe it's because di kaya Diyos na siya sa ating buhay. Ang mga hobbies and forms of entertainment natin na madalas nating gawin at puntahan, pwede maging idol. Ministry sa church can be an idol. It can. Morality can be an idol. There are people na kung saan, and sometimes we see ourselves, yung Ten Commandments, ginagawa natin, check the box. And morality now becomes an idol. All of this can be what Tim Keller calls counterfeit gods. Counterfeit gods. Sabi niya, an idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything that you seek to give you what only God can give. You are seeking something deeper nang gusto mo lang maging masaya. Maybe you're thinking, gusto ko lang maging masaya, gusto ko lang maging peaceful. But the truth is, you are seeking something deeper than that. That only God can provide. You are trying to force a God to serve you, to fill that void. Pero ang hindi natin alam, the more we indulge ourselves at mga Diyos-Diyosa na to, it becomes our master. And we become enslaved. And still end up not being happy. Still not end up being peaceful. Because that void can only be filled by an eternal God. So don't force your spouse to fill that void that only God can give. Don't force the people that you love, mga anak nyo, that only God can fill. Do not force your career to do something that ina-expect mo that only God can satisfy. And the list goes on. Paul Tripp says, we still hunt for God replacements. Gana pa rin daw tayo ng Diyos-Diyosan. We still look horizontally for what we will only ever find vertically. We think that the material possessions have the power to make us happy. We try to base our identity on our children. We ask our spouses to make us happy. We look to food and drink to satisfy and calm us. We draw too much of our sense of well-being from our physical appearance. We attach our identities to the luxury of our cars or the affluence of our neighborhoods. Mga kaibigan, pinag-iisipan po ba natin mabuti kung ano ba talaga ang ating idol sa buhay? Pinag-iisipan ba talaga natin? Pinagbubulay-bulayan ba natin ang salita ng Diyos? Tayo ba ay nagkakaroon ng oras ng pananahimik? Ini-evaluate ang buhay natin, kino-compare sa salita ng Diyos? Talaga bang tinitignan, inaaral natin kung ano ba talaga ang Diyos-Diyos na kumukontrol sa atin? Masakit po dito, baka pati ang pag-confess natin sa ating Diyos-Diyosan ay pili din. Pili din. At nasa denial stage pa yung mga napapansin natin. Or somebody confronts you with something and you're still in that denial stage. Ano, may problema ka ba? Oh, problema ko yan kasi pride yan eh. Pride ko lang yan. I mean, okay, I identify pride. Pero hindi pala. There's that deep hunger of Diyos mo na yung lagi kang mapansin, hindi lang pride. There's something deeper. You would know that through the context of community. The more we get to know one another as a family, as a church, the more we will be truthful towards one another. The more we will see yung mga flaws natin, and the more we must become loving to tell na yung kapatid, may pinagdadaanan ka, at ito yung itsura mo sa salamin. Ang unang hakbang para patayin natin ang mga idols natin sa ating buhay is identifying them. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and test me." Ask your spouse. Number one po yan, ang spouse will tell you what's wrong. And number one na sinasabi nila sa atin, matagal ko na sinasabi sa iyo yan. Truth hurts, really. And praise God for wives and husbands who love the Lord. Dapat po natin malaman ang mga ito bago po natin mapaglabanan ito. Karamihan sa atin dito ay may mga mental images of God. If not all of us, no? We have mental images of God. And what is He like? What is He doing? Pero mga kaibigan, ang mental images po ba natin ng Diyos ay biblical? Do you seek to serve the God that you want, not the God who He really is? If you are, you're not worshiping God. That's why dito po sa Crossroads, we pray and we strive to apply yung tinatawag po na regulative principle sa corporate worship. Ano po ibig sabihin ng regulative principle? Simply put, this means that we are not free to conduct our worship service any way we want. Hindi ayon sa preferences o kagustuhan namin. Okay? When the church gathers to worship, its worship is to be accordance to Scripture. And we try, we pray, and we still need work in this area. So please be patient with us as we plan and pray and look at Scripture in doing this. We read God's Word together. We sing God's Word together. We pray God's Word together. We preach God's Word and listen together. And we see the gospel through the administration ng Lord's Supper and baptism, which is yung makikita natin mamaya. So please stay. Be blessed. Be glorifying God sa mga maririnig niyong testimonies. We desire that the Word of God would be at the center of what we do at Crossroads. We want our members, our children, and loved ones to know and worship God biblically. That's why the regular preaching diet ng church is expositional preaching or expository preaching. Sabi ni Kevin DeYoung, we must resist to get the spirit of the age. We have to feed our people more than a steady diet of video clips and sermonettes. That's what they were arguing against the Reformation. Opponents are saying we can't lose the images because they are the books of laity. And I added, they're books of ordinary people. Why? Because ordinary people cannot read noong time na yun. They won't understand the faith without yung icons. They needed the icons and statues, to which the reformers replied, then we must teach them. Friends, every Friday is an attempt for us in every part and service to teach one another God's Word and give God the glory through His Word. Heidelberg Catechism, question number 98. But may not images be permitted in churches in place of books for the unlearned? Ang sagot po, no. We should not try to be wiser than God. God wants the Christian community instructed by the living preaching of His Word. Only God has the right to tell us who He is. Only God has the right to tell us how to worship Him. Left to ourselves, hindi natin malalaman kung paano siya purihin. Mga kaibigan, walang man-made statue or images o icons ang makakapagdala sa atin sa Panginoon. In fact, itutulak pa tayo palayo. Walang man-made image, but there is a God-sent image. A God-sent image or icon that perfectly represented God. Friends, Jesus is the perfect icon. He is the perfect image of the invisible God. Siya ang tunay na icon because Jesus himself is God himself. Sabi sa Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus made the invisible God visible. Jesus made the invisible God tangible. Jesus made the invisible God intimate and personal. Jesus is the glory of God revealed. Hebrews 1:3, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Jesus not only came to show us who God is, He made a way to save us, reconciling us sa isang angry God towards sinners. And Jesus' death on the cross paid our sins in full. He was buried and has risen from the grave. So friends, this is an invitation for us sa mga nakakarinig ng gospel message ito, to repent and put your faith in Christ. Repent from all of our idols. Idols of the heart and idols na inaalagaan natin. Turn away from them and look to the ultimate icon, the better icon, Jesus who died for you. Number three and last. Kapag naririnig natin ang salitang seloso o selosa, bakit negative lagi ang tingin natin? Ano? Tingnan natin yung number three. Images provoke the true God's jealousy. Verse 5 to 6, For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Sabi ng isang pastor, jealousy means a zeal to protect a love relationship of a husband towards his wife and vice versa. It's a love relationship. Tama lang po yung attitude kapag yung asawa mo, pag may pumuporma sa asawa, tama lang magkaroon ng jealousy. You are protecting that relationship, yung integrity ng relationship na yan, and vice versa. At tulad ng marriage, ang relationship ng Israel at ng Panginoon ay similar. Kasi ito yung pinatatawag na covenantal love din. All throughout the Old Testament, Israel provoked God's jealousy. Kasi patuloy siya na nangangalun niya. Patuloy po siya unfaithful, sumasamba sa mga Diyos-Diyosan. At kung na-provoke ba ang anger ng Panginoon, Pastor, madadamay ba? Lahat sila madadamay? Yes. God has judged them, punished them several times. Kasi God is holy and He wants His people to be holy. So Pastor, kung ganun ba ang situation, dahil galit ang Panginoon sa kasalanan, pati ba ang mga anak nila ay paparusahan dahil nagkasala ang kanilang tatay? Saan naman ang galing yung Pastor William? Yan ang parang sinasabi ng verse 5 to 6. Ibasahin po natin. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Tama ba to? Tama ba pagkakaintindi natin? Tama ba na kapag nagkasala ang tatay, magkakaroon ng pagpasa ng kasalanan at paparusahan ng Panginoon ang kasalanan ng tatay sa anak? Eh, parang yun ang nakikita natin eh. Now, let me explain to us what this does not mean. Unang-una, hindi ito nangangahulugan na nang may mga generational curses. I think may dumating ako sa time ng ministry ko. Ah, kasi generational 'yan, ancestral ano 'yan, issue. Yung kasalanan ng tao, tatay, napasa diyan na kasalanan, kaya lahat 'yan masasama ugali, isang barangay 'yan masasama lahat ugali. Kasi napasa 'yan, lahi 'yan. Generational curses kasi meron sapi 'yan, yung spirito ng lolo niya nandiyan ngayon. Kaya tingnan mo pati yung anak niya nandiyan yung spirito na 'yan. Narinig niyo na po ba 'yon? Oh, di ba? So, hindi po ito yon. Okay? At hindi po totoo yon. Ang isang matinong, okay naman, kapag matino yung anak mo, kahit matino yung anak mo, paparusahan ka pa rin dahil yung tatay mo pasaway. Now, hindi po ito yon. Hindi po yon ang ibig sabihin nito. So, paano natin sasagutin ito na hindi pala generational sin, hindi pala yung passing of the spirit, hindi pala yung curse ng kanununuan natin, eh yung sumpa nandyan. Ito po yan, Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, 1-4. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. So may kasabihan daw sa land ng Israel na ang tatay kumain ng sour grapes kasi nakakasakit ata ng ngipin yun o nakakasira, pero ang nasirang ngipin yung anak. So parang, ano yung naririnig-rinig ko rito? It's an imagery. Verse 3. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Tigil-tigilan nyo na. Ayun pa rin ni Fala na yan, in short. Behold, all souls are mine, sabi ng Panginoon. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Clear. Just because the other is righteous, isang anak is righteous, tapos pasaway ang tatay, mamamana niyang kaparusahan ng tatay? Hindi po. Or vice versa. God-fearing ang tatay, tapos pasaway ang anak, yung blessing ng tatay mapupunta sa hindi rin po. Itong warning na ito ay consequences ng kasalanan ng father's sin. That's the truth eh. The father's sin ay may consequences sa next generation. That's true. Allow me to attempt to explain this. Meron din tinatawag kasi na sin crosses generational lines. Okay? Teka, parang kinontra mo yung sarili mo. Let me explain. The son grew up, example, sa isang tatay na alcoholic. Yeah. Isang tatay na drug addict, kunyari. Alcoholic, drug addict. Lumaki yung bata sa ganong environment. Lahat ng kamag-anak nila sa barangay nandun. Lagi ho yung po nakikita niya. May tendency ng anak niya ay magiging ganun din. Kasi ang pinaka-main discipler niya is si tatay. Okay? O kaya naman, another way that this can affect, yung magulang mo made poor choices. At dahil dyan, nabaon tayo sa utang. At dahil dyan, pumutok ang pangalan mo sa inyong barangay, na ayun yung anak ni Kaising eh. Ayun ba yun? Yung nako, tayo dalapit yan. Nag-apply ka ngayon sa trabaho. Ikaw ba yung anak ni ano? Liton, sige, puno na ho yung spot eh. Hindi mapagkakatiwala. Minsan may totoo po yun. Nangyayari po yun. Yun yung effect ng sins ng father. Okay? Pero note lang sa part that says the generation, highlight ko lang to, the generation of those who hate me. Yes, maaaring may consequences yung kasalanan ng tatay sa pamilya. Pero hindi siya dahil paparusahan ng Diyos dahil doon. Paparusahan siya dahil sabi ng verse na ito, because if nagpatuloy ka sa kasalanan ng tatay mo, hindi ka maliligtas sa kaparusahan na dinala ng tatay mo kung itutuloy mo yan. Does that make sense? It's not passing of sin. It's more of you grew up in that home and dahil dyan, ginagawa mo na rin. Do you remember nung bata ka, sinabi mo, paglaki ko, hindi ako magiging pareho ng tatay ko. After 20 years, sabi ng asawa mo, ganyan na ganyan ang tatay mo. Sino ba main discipler mo? Tatay mo eh. Pero if you continue in your father's sin, then you will be judged. Kung hindi nagrepent ang tatay mo at nagtiwala kay Kristo, at wala sa Panginoon ngayon, then you will face that same judgment. Yun ang sinasabi niya rito. If you keep on sinning like your father, you will not escape your father's judgment. So ito po yung warning, hindi lang sa father, pati sa mother, sa parents. D.A. Carson, sin is often social in its effect. For instance, children from a background of abuse often becomes abusers. Children from arrogant homes often becomes arrogant. Arrogant themselves, or turn out to be broken or bitter. Sin is rarely entirely private and individualistic. Yung effect ng kasalanan po natin ay hindi lang tayo. Ano ba naman ang porn? Wala naman ako nasasaktan ni ka dito. Wala naman inagrabyado. Pero it will always affect us eventually. Yung mga mahal natin sa buhay. Fathers, since father na banggit dito, immediate application, fathers. Ano kaya ang magiging ripple effect ng mga kasalanan natin kung patuloy natin to inaalagaan sa harapan ng Diyos at sa pamilya natin? Kung ikaw ay galing sa hindi makadiyos na pamilya, hindi mo kailangan ipagpatuloy ang kasalanan ng tatay mo. Hindi mo kailangan ipagpatuloy yan. Mali siya. Talikuran mo. Lumapit ka sa Panginoong Hesukristo para sa kaligtasan at pagbabago. Which is maririnig natin in a few minutes. Ang mga pamilya who love Christ and live humble repentance daily, okay, kung kayo po yan, ay kadalasan nagbubunga ng makadiyos na tahanan. Fathers, make sure to nurture your family in the Word of God. Now, for those children who grew up in a strong Christian home, praise God for your parents. Praise God. But be careful to think na dahil na pastor ang tatay mo, diko ng nanay mo, Bible study leader ang parents mo, yung kabutihan nila, ang pagka-Kristiyano nila ay mapapasa sa iyo. You want the blessings of your parents, you have to go to the blesser who sent the better blessing, Jesus Christ. You have to trust Christ. Fathers, make sure to nurture our families in the Word of God. Make, and I'm going to push this, you know, make church central sa family ninyo. Okay? Make it central. Surround them with godly influences. Let them love the church. Let them see yung importance of God's people. Let them see yung importance ng corporate worship. The question is, ano ang nakasenter sa families natin? Is it work? Is it education? Is it always finances? Is it always entertainment and happenings? Kung ano nakasentro sa bahay nyo, kahit hindi mo sabihin sa anak nyo, alam nila. Fathers, alam nila. It could be an encouraging thing or it can be a deadly thing. Nurture your family in the Word. Gaya ng maraming maririnig nating patotoo. Friends, if you come from a Christian family, again, your parents' faith, hindi ho pwede maging ipasa sa inyo. You can admire, you can long for their faith, but the decision is still up to you. To receive the curses or to receive your blessing, it is a decision you have to make. But you are called, I am called, to worship God. And we should worship God in accordance to His Word. Because God demands that His redeemed people worship Him in a biblical right way. Father, we come to You with hearts that are meditative right now. As we hear Your Word preached, help us to reflect on our lives, on our family, our next generation families. Oh, pray, Father, that do not, I pray, Lord, that Crossroads would produce not weak fathers, but fathers who are humble enough in relying on Your strength A father who is strong in the word. A father who will love his family. A father who will raise up a godly heritage. And I pray, Father, na itong community would continue to grow in encouraging one another in these areas. I pray that we would be worshipful in a biblical way this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.